Blog Talk Radio.
Going to New Orleans for the weekend? For vacation? Are you wanting to take a ghost hunting tour but tired of the same old walking tours where you don't even get to go into the location? And you're not even sure if the history is accurate? Well, call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. This team of guys are going to take you into a real haunted location where you're going to get to use the state-of-the-art equipment that ghost hunters use. Be the paranormal investigator. You get to work with an experienced, competent team of investigators and have the real, true paranormal experience. Experience the dark side of New Orleans. Call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. They have tours Friday through Monday. Tours start at 7 and at 10 p.m. For more information, call 504-708-3567.
For tuning into the Debunker Boys Show. My name is Ryan. Alongside of me is Robert. And we also have Buddy coming in to help us throughout this show. Just kind of chit-chat, you know, shoot the shit, kind of change things up a little bit so you don't just hear our two boring-ass voices the whole time. We have David here with us. What's going on, Dave?
Not much, man.
How's your weekend going?
It could be better.
It could be better?
Yeah.
So what do you got going on for Daddy's Day tomorrow?
Oh, man, I got no kids. I ain't got no kids or an old lady, so, you know.
Oh, okay. Oh, your kids went into tissues?
No, I ain't got no kids.
What?
I don't have any kids. I'm a single uncle.
Yeah, I said
all your kids
were on
tissue.
That went over.
Yeah, my like head. Anyways, put him too much
second in the shower. My mom never had any kids that lived. You got anything
special planned? Who, me?
No, I'm gonna drop off Father's Day card to my dad, and then spend the rest of the day doing something that I probably should have done last weekend.
What's that? Murdering more kids?
No. Murdering fleas.
I'm kidding. All right, anyway. Well, I've had an interesting
couple
of days.
Actually, believe it or not, man, kids love Dave. They love Dave.
Yeah.
He'd be a great dad,
that's
man.
A sad thing. Kids and animals like me. And for some reason, you guys like me, which is bizarre because I'm straight. And I don't understand that.
I'm quite the animal lover myself. And, you know, I'm a kid's best friend. You know, I've been around them my whole life. So.
No, I ain't no animal lover, but animal lover.
No.
Okay,
well, everybody
says
that you should use peanut butter to be an animal lover. Well, screw that. I love peanut butter too much. I'm going to put the butter on the dog's ass to lick it off.
Whatever. That's sick as fuck. That's all the reality.
Right?
I tried.
I need to send you some of my stuff from the bunny site, man.
Yeah.
Creepy.
I'm actually in an application battle with another couple. I'm trying to get this purebred Siberian Husky that I'm really excited about getting, and I think it'd be a good addition to the Gazzardo family.
Yeah, Huskies are extremely intelligent. Couple of them, they're extremely bright if you get a good one.
Oh yeah, and this little puppy, he's just, I mean, me and him just connected right away, you know. I'm
yeah, you broke out
I'm
the jar of peanut butter, you fucker.
Well, one of my references, I was like, well, because they actually call your references to see if you're going to be a good pet owner. And one of my references, a good buddy of mine, and I said, so what'd you tell the Humane Society? And they go, he goes, oh, just that, you love to jerk off. You jerk off my dog good. And I'm like, well, hell, you know, the dog looks stressed out. You know, I figure to relieve the anxiety, he needs some sexual release. You know, I'm just helping him out. Hopefully one day he'll return the favor.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Today.
They do it with the horses. Why not dogs?
It'll be on Howard Stern. I'm telling you.
Hey, Dave. Me and Ryan were talking about earlier in the week on the phone about Michael J. Fox and his movie Back to the Future. And you remember the hoverboard scene? Where he's on the hoverboard?
They've actually come out with the technology. Yeah, they actually. I was looking around the internet, and I found these YouTube videos for an actual hoverboard that some company Hover Tech or something like that actually came up with. What they were originally working on was hover vehicles for mass transportation, but they were like, what the hell? Why don't we bring this down to the individual level? And they came up with a design that actually looks the prototype actually came out to look exactly like the hoverboard from the Back to the Future movie.
Is that
the
guy that played Doc Emmett Brown introducing it and stuff?
Yeah, you saw that as well?
Yeah, I've seen it, and I also seen the retraction for it, so you might want to look around a little bit harder.
Wait, what?
They did a retraction for it because it was actually what they had did was they had Tony Hawk and a couple other guys come in and they ran them on the stunt rig that they used in Back to the Future.
Oh, so it's not real?
No, it's a spoofing. They actually really did give away the board itself, though, the one that they used in that, signed by the guy that played Emmett Brown, Tony Hawk, and a bunch of other guys. They gave it away as a prize because, you know, to make up for them doing the spoof thing.
The thing is, though, I was just reading, I'm reading an article right now. It's called The Aquatic Hoverboard, and it actually has gone on sale. But it uses pulls water and then takes you about 4 feet in the air.
Yeah, that's because it's got a fin on it.
Yeah, that's badass.
But,
I don't want that.
I've seen those up the lake. They pull you on the boat and you get up on there like it's a water board. But it's got about a 3 foot fin on it underneath with wings underneath. That are actually, and it lifts you up. Those are bad.
Yeah. Well, David, you just pissed in my Cheerios because I was excited about this thing. I was researching. I actually went to the website and everything.
They got
people
who've made hoverboards, but they're not like the little ones you see in Back to the Future. I mean, if you go to one site is oh crap.
Well, the developer said that. Said that the hoverboard that they came up with was actually had more technology in it than the satellites they sent into space in 2010. And
same one I've seen, they did a retraction to it. But you can, I'm not saying it's not possible. I mean, anything's possible, especially nowadays the way technology is. Technology.
Well, what Robert and I were talking about is you literally have to, figure out the mathematical equation to gravity and how to counteract it to a certain level that keeps it in a safe safe manner.
It says Tony Hawk's apologizes for lying about the hoverboard on USA Today.
Jesus.
Wow.
That is...
a punch in the dick, man.
I know.
The product
right?
board's real,
don't,
though.
Don't underestimate that there ain't such a thing out there somewhere, because I have seen people make homemade hoverboards out of high-powered fans and stuff. They're about as big as a surfboard, but...
They use a magnetic thrust. I
know
what you're talking
about. They use fan-type. Electric fan-type motors.
Well, you can do magnetic thrust, too, but it takes so much energy that you would have to use that nanotechnology that they have where they grow the batteries in, one microscopic cell could run a city for 1 second. Well, they would have to put that in the board, and that would be like you could weaponize that, so I can't see it happening anytime soon.
You can weaponize
it. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Milo. I didn't mean to get your tail there, bub.
You didn't step on my tail?
Well, the debunker boy has been debunked.
I stepped on the tail.
No, check out the aquatic board, though, Ryan. We need to rent one when you come by or something and go to the lake or some shit.
That'd be fun. Yeah, I got all kinds of fun things that I want to do with you, non-sexually, just for the record. but the hoverboard tech.
Dude, you literally fly 4 and 5 feet in the air with this thing.
Oh, that's
and it's
awesome.
Hooked to a hose that's hooked to a watercraft. That's behind you, and it's shooting you up into the air in front of you with this hose that's shooting water out from under you.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one. That's expensive as hell to use one of those. But
I think we could make one. We just need a giant water pump, and a mouthpiece. Bouncing off the fucking water like... Oh.
But anyways, what we have advertised about this show, and let's get on track, because now that my Cheerios have been pissed in, let's talk about the Bermuda Triangle, the Devil's Triangle. The feared death triangle that apparently thousands of ships have mysteriously disappeared, ships and aircraft have disappeared into. And the different theories behind that and what actually is probably going on with this whole thing. Now, I'm sure most people... When you think of hello, Robert,
Robert,
Did he just hang up on us?
I have no idea.
Oh,
what the hell just happened? It just said we lost our host. But,
so, are we still on the air?
Yeah, we're still on the air.
Well, then keep going.
Yeah. But, you know, there are multiple theories, and just like everything else that people get scared of, what do they instantly turn to? Magic, aliens, you know, that sort of shit. Welcome back, Robert.
Hey, what's up? I don't know
what that was about.
So, well, I pissed on my keyboard, I guess. I don't fucking know.
Well, think about all the in the past, you know, when people would see comets come down, and you know, we're talking hundreds, even thousands of years ago, they'd see comets come down, you know, they get struck by disease, what automatically assume that it was, you know, that it was the gods and it was magic and stuff like that. And that's the same thing that was happening for the past 500 years in the Bermuda Triangle. People are like, people are coming up with these outlandish ideas that were going on, that these ships were being teleported or abducted by aliens and stuff like that, and just disappearing without a trace. Well, like, the Bermuda Triangle has always fascinated me, and it wasn't until not too long ago I actually started researching it, and now that I'm going at it from a debunker board point of view, I figured why not try to debunk the Bermuda Triangle? I mean, you know, Robert and I talked about this earlier in the week. What are your thoughts on it, Dave?
As far as the Bermuda Triangle goes?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of stuff that's disappeared out of there, but you got to remember, too, that there's also been a lot of reports of people have reports of going through there and seeing old ghost ships and stuff, you know, ships that couldn't possibly have been there, planes that couldn't possibly have, you know, been there that had disappeared earlier in history.
Well, gotta remember that happens all over the world as well.
Yeah.
If they take this triangle, I mean, it's a large area. I can't remember the actual triangle area. It's 500,000 to 15 million, 1,500,000 square miles, and that's the triangle's actual, how big it is, how big the area is, but if you take that in relation to the entire ocean. The actual area that the ocean takes up, you know, I can't remember. It's like 80% of our world is water.
Right.
And
78%,
whatever. You know, I was rounding up. But if you take this small area and the amount of disappearances, they seem like a lot. But if you actually look at the statistics as a whole, the amount of disappearances are not as astronomical as people would say. There's a research librarian from Arizona State University. His name's Lawrence David Cush. He's the author of The Bermuda Triangle Mystery Solved, which came out in 1975, argued claims that the writings were often exaggerated, dubious, or unverified. He concluded that the number of ships and aircraft reported missing in the area was not significantly greater proportionally speaking, than of any other part of the ocean. It is an area frequented by tropical storms, and, you know, tectonic plates and water currents. Probably
a lot of methane in that area too. Methane.
Which chokes
aircraft's engine. Sorry. Good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And another thing is rogue waves. Now, do any of these things sound paranormal to you at all?
Me personally, I see everything as a scientific basis. Like there is a super intense point of magnetic field that fluctuates in different points of every hemisphere, every planet. So there is a Bermuda Triangle on the moon. There's a Bermuda Triangle on Uranus. There's a Bermuda Triangle on every world, meaning there's a magnetic field that is strongest at a certain point in a certain place on the planet, and that just happens to be the place. That's what I believe. And I believe that's what causes all the problems. But it is a no-fly zone.
Red spot on Jupiter type thing.
Zone. It's a no-fly zone, and it has been since aircraft came up missing. So you've got to put that into the thought process, too. Why is it a no-fly zone? Do you really think the government believes in hoogly-boogly?
I'll tell you exactly why it's a no-fly zone. Because the magnetic, you go into the certain areas of that area, and their magnetic compasses and stuff go completely nuts. I mean, it's been documented. You can go through certain areas of the Bermuda Triangle, and the magnetic compasses and everything just go completely wacko. The magnetic field there is just bizarre.
Yeah, and every time a storm goes through that area, it grabs the storm and holds it for a while, intensifies it, and then pushes it off. There's also reports of that. I mean, you can see there's been many, many photos of where, what do you call that, the center of the eye of a storm is right dead center of the Bermuda Triangle, and it's just getting bigger and bigger, and then it just shoves off.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot. It is a strange phenomenon. It really is, but I think anything can be explained through science. That's my belief.
Oh, yeah, so. Most definitely. Like, the one big one that put planes on the map as far as the Bermuda Triangle goes was the infamous Flight 19. Yep. The aviators of Flight 19, where five planes mysteriously disappeared. They said their equipment went haywire, and they had distress signals, and they had no idea where the hell they were. And they actually took that flight, and they found out that most likely these planes did not even disappear in the Bermuda Triangle. Period. They may have got disoriented inside the Bermuda Triangle, but they actually they say that these planes most likely went down in the Florida Everglades and are lost in the Florida Everglades. Because I think three different reports came overland, one in Georgia and two in Florida, that reported seeing these planes that shouldn't have been there flying over. These five planes, all three of these reports came one right after another, saying that they saw these planes flying over when they shouldn't have been. And these planes most likely went down in the Everglades. So, and actually most of the disappearances, they may have disappeared inside the Bermuda Triangle, but the Bermuda Triangle has not swallowed up as many planes or ships as they try to make it out to be. Once again, it's just a hype to scare people and to, make people, you know, just add to the excitement. I mean, the world's a boring place unless there's death and destruction, right?
Well, yeah, but what's weird to me is if you look up your research, you see that one point in the Bermuda Triangle stops at Bermuda, the other point stops at Florida, and the other point stops at Puerto Rico. And then on the external parts of that, of the Bermuda Triangle, there have been almost 0% of any kind of wrecks or crashes on just that side of the line. They're all in the inside of the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
that's strange too.
Well, think about magnetic storms. You talk about there's a Bermuda Triangle on just about every planet, and large, you know, any surface that has a weather system has a Bermuda Triangle, and you know, it's a site of magnetic storms. And there are two or three flights, I can't remember the exact number, but two or three flights in history have reported that they went into a tunneling storm. They actually went through this cloud tunnel, and they were supposed to be out over Bermuda, and 3 minutes later they come out of this cloud storm, and they're actually over the coast of Florida. And that's traveling hundreds of miles in a matter of 3 minutes. Now, that has not been, you know, explained, but Robert actually had a good theory on what's going on, if you want to go ahead and explain that.
Well, yeah, when you intensify a magnetic field with enough energy, you create, I'm not going to say it's a white hole, black hole, but it's a magnetic almost like a time dilation tunnel or a magnetic flux. It just pushes them fast, and you're not going to notice it because it's almost like a quantum bubble or some kind of bubble that envelops you and pushes you fast. So, I don't know, David, explain this.
I think you're talking about a Penalty Bridge.
Yes, but you wouldn't feel any kind of like thrust or acceleration, because you're actually, this bridge is like you're in another universe of itself, and it's a natural occurrence that, I mean, it occurs and creates this bridge from point A to point B, and that's been proven in science that's possible. So why couldn't this be possible, and why couldn't this bridge go to, say, another dimension or another planet or another time?
Well, think about it. Anytime there's a mass acceleration of speed, you cannot go without taking Newton's law of motion into account. You know, an object in motion state likes to stay in motion unless acted on by another force, and an object at rest stays in rest. So if a ship is going to take off at a mass speed, it would require some sort of defense system that would keep the ship from falling apart, because a mass acceleration is going to cause great stress on whatever it's sending through. And you got to take into account magnetic theories are completely separate from gravitational, or the magnetic laws are completely separate from the gravitational laws. Okay, just because it's being propelled by magnetic force, it's still going to be acted upon by gravity, which is going to cause intense friction. And if you're talking about traveling at 1900 miles an hour, that,
yes, but if you don't have the gravity
friction.
If the gravity is gone out of the equation because of a quantum bridge or a dimensional shift, or, you know, basically when this phenomenon occurs, it's like you're shifted out of time and space. So there is no gravity. That is no longer there. You're not actually on the planet, but you're not actually in another dimension. You're kind of in between. So if you lose all that gravity stuff, but you still have the inertia going, it wouldn't tear you apart. You wouldn't feel a difference. It wouldn't feel like anything happened at all. It'd feel instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of theory behind that.
Okay. Just for a minute, guys, I want you to think about something. Bob kind of has – I kind of understand where Bob's coming from. But when I –
imagine
we're
in space, basically.
Huh? Well, you got to look at it this way. You're going through something like that. You're going through the eye of a storm, literally. It's like going through it's like being in the eye of a tornado. Everything could be going a million miles per hour around you, but whatever is in the center isn't, you know, it's calm. And if you're in,
exactly.
There is such a phenomena where you have, say, a bridge on either side, you're going through the center of that magnetic tunnel. It would be like walking through a door in your house and exiting through the door on the other side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially how it would work.
Yeah, because it's literally changing the laws of physics. Because it's creating its own little pocketed universe in a way. So, I mean, you're losing your gravity, you're losing this. Like you said, an eye of a storm, you're going right through the eye of a storm, which is calm, beautiful, nothing's going on. So,
That's essentially what how the idea behind light speed works. Faster than light. You open a gate.
Yeah, you have to alter physics.
On one end,
and
open the gate on the other end and create a tunnel between those two gates to go from one side to the other side of the universe quicker.
But there is no way that is possible without creating such stress. Like, think about it. Human bodies, okay, we're not even going to talk about the airplanes alone.
Like I said, the eye of the storm. If you're in something like that, right? If you're right in the center of it, you wouldn't feel anything.
You wouldn't feel
anything,
but the mass acceleration, I understand what Robert's saying about it's
there
like...
There would be no mass acceleration. There'd be no acceleration, period. It quite literally would be like walking through a door. There'd be no acceleration.
But that door, I mean, you're literally talking about almost a teleportation.
Think more like teleportation and less like Stargate, okay?
Okay.
I mean, it's like if you take two tornadoes. If you had two tornadoes, if you could lay them out horizontally, right, and put them end to end, and then you could fly a plane through those tornadoes, it wouldn't harm the plane. But everything outside of those tornadoes that was in the string would be, it'd be like pencil through a back of a car.
Yeah.
Now imagine two magnetic fields like that, and you join each end of the magnetic field, the northern pole and the southern pole, and it's, you know, if you take steel shavings and put a flat magnet in them, you'll notice that the circle that they create, it creates waves. But along that center line where it runs north to south of the positive and negative, there's almost no metal shavings because it's the center of the storm. It's the eye of the storm. So as long as you could be out, if you're outside of it, yeah, there'd be turbulence or whatever. But as long as you walked along the center of that bridge, it wouldn't be. It'd be no different than walking down the street.
But if you're in the middle, then nothing's happening other than what your engine would be putting out. You wouldn't be doing more than 150 miles an hour.
That's where the science comes in. Okay, look, if a man boards a train that's moving at 176,000 miles an hour or per second, going around the world at 176,000 miles per second, and he's in that train for 10 minutes, and they stop the train, he gets out, 100 years would have passed because of dilation and because of acceleration. Okay, now, you enter a magnetic flux that propels you through the center of a storm where there's no anything. You take away gravity. All you have is magnetic propulsion and a quantum bubble around you, and it's going to be instantaneous from the start of the magnetic flux to the end of the magnetic flux. It's going to be instantaneous, and anything in between might last, like you said, 3 minutes, Ryan. You said it lasted 3 minutes, right? And they went 1,900 miles. It's very possible. We have the technology now. NASA does. They've put it in place. It's called a star drive. They're going to put it in one of their drives. Instead of it taking 10 lifetimes to get to this planet we found, it's going to take 10 years. And all they do is they create a magnetic bubble around the spacecraft so it doesn't get tore to shit, magnetic inertia dampeners or whatever you want to call it, whoever the people want to call this. They put it around the craft, and then they start the craft off slowly until it gets to almost the point of light travel, and then they slow it back down. Back from the light point of light travel, when it gets to the planet, it only has 10 years instead of 10 lifetimes.
Wow. Yeah, that's
But
that's
for
pretty cool.
For an anomaly to occur naturally like that, that's a 1 in 100 million unless you have some kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, fulcrum point of the planet. Maybe that's where the magnetic... you know, the thing that goes around the planet that protects it from meteors and different stuff from impacting and destroying us? It's the big magnetic flux that comes out of the world. Supposedly,
yeah,
it comes out of North and South Pole, basically. So supposedly, that's one of those strongest points where the Bermuda Triangle is. And then there's one on the opposite side of the planet that's a negative polarity. You have your positive polarity and your negative polarity, but they're not – they're it's gravity, not magnetics. And we talked about gravity. We cannot track gravity. We haven't figured out how to track gravity yet. But it does weird shit, and we don't understand the law of physics with gravity yet. So who knows what's going on in that triangle?
You don't. I can assure you scientists do. That's how they can tell how many planets are circling a star. Because of the effect of gravity on it.
We cannot read gravity on our planet. Visually, we can watch it in the stars and in the universe. We can track it by movement. But visually, they have not been able to prove that gravity even exists, except for we're still stuck to the planet.
Funny, I thought Newton did that.
Yeah,
nah,
he did it on
paper. I'm talking about actual physical tests.
Oh yeah, well, we can't.
I thought Newton did.
Artificial gravitational fields created all the time. Even at your state fair, when they have that one ride that spins you around in a circle, and you're standing up against this board, and all of a sudden the board comes off the ground and everything, and you're stuck to it. That's an artificial.
The forced inertia. Yeah, the force inertia. I know. Yeah, that proves that. I mean, in a way, that proves that gravity exists, but you still can't see it. Like we can see other things with cameras or record it. They're still trying to figure out how to recreate it, but
you can't see air either. You can see particles inside of air, but you can't see air itself.
Oh, hold on, guys. Hold on. Gravity is essentially gravity on Earth is essentially a magnetic force. Okay. Every person has a magnetic field. That's a known fact. You can ask any scientist, that has ever worked with people or a lot of these people who work with shamans clear back hundreds of years. Everyone has their own magnetic polarity, okay? Their own magnetic force. All the gravity really is, to my knowledge, is just the magnetic force of the planet working on the objects closest to it.
Well, okay, yeah. Satellites
stay in orbit. You know, that's all
gravity
for the most part really is.
Gravity is separate from magnetic fields, but magnetic field is a byproduct of gravity. We can track gravitational fields, but we cannot track gravity fields because it's a secondary byproduct of gravity. And when that magnet board was brought to light, or the magnetic board was brought to light, or the anti-gravity or whatever, people are jumping on YouTube saying there's anti-gravity because they take these two batteries and a CD and they make this item float in the air. That's called magnetic thrust. It's not magnetic thrust. It's called, magnetic thrust. It's not anti-gravity. And people get anti-gravity and magnetic mixed up. They're two separate things totally.
Well,
why the Earth spins and we don't fly off.
I don't believe there's such thing as anti-gravity.
No, we don't have any anti-gravity.
I have a theory that might put all of this hogwash, all of this next generational shit to bed. The Bermuda Triangle touches the coast of Florida, and the most recent claim of this supposed super speed travel happened. This guy said he was over Bermuda, and all of a sudden, 3 minutes later, he was over the coast of Florida. Is it possible, okay, think about this, recent science has shown that the Bermuda Triangle is actually a neutral area, neutral to the natural magnetic line. It's where the natural electricity of Earth is neutralized. It's got its own static electricity field, and large quantities, it has been known to shut down the brain and the nervous system.
Right.
And that accounts for human error, where these planes will just all of a sudden go down without even a distress signal. Because think about it, you know, if your central nervous system is shut down. And your brain just literally shuts down. You're not going to be able to send out a distress signal. You're dead. You're gone. You're going down. When this guy was going through this supposed vortex, this cloud vortex, is it possible that the electrostatic charge caused him to lose consciousness for long enough Now a plane. Now, if you don't mess with the actual if you lose consciousness and the plane's just going, it's gonna keep going until it runs out of juice. Or let's say you flip over onto the steering mechanism, and all of a sudden the plane nosedives within your loss of consciousness. But think about it, like people have passed out on the highway, and if a car continues to drive down the highway in a straight line, is it possible that they lost consciousness flying in a straight line for long enough, and when they came out of their unconscious state, they were over the Florida Keys, right on the edge of the Bermuda Triangle, and all of a sudden, because how many times have you fallen asleep at night, and you just blink, and you wake up, and it's morning?
Well, the thing is, how do you explain the, I mean, the instrumental issue is the flight recorder, which I could understand that could be fucked with because of the magnet or the stuff, but when you leave a point, when you're flying, you're logged with the airport when you leave. And then when you go to your next point of origin, he obviously landed in the Florida Keys area. He landed. If they said it was 3 minutes that he left from Bermuda to there,
nobody else said that. He said that.
He was probably full of shit.
Well, think about this. I, as a magician, a trick I used to perform is, I would tell somebody I'm going to stop time, and I would hold on to their, or I would just like, I would say, how I'm going to do this is, I want you to, they'd have a wristwatch on, you know, an old-fashioned ticker wristwatch, and I would concentrate on that wristwatch, and you'd see the second hand going tick, 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 and I'd go, and it's going to stop now, and as soon as I'd say now, their watch would stop. And as long as I held my position, their watch would not move. And as soon as I'd snap my fingers, the ticker would keep going. You know how that was achieved? I'm actually going to break the magician's code. How that was achieved was a 3-inch by 3-inch magnet, large magnet, very powerful magnet. I actually used it for many tricks. I'd have this magnet on my wrist. And when it was close enough to this watch, it would literally stop the watch in time. It would stop the watch in its place. Okay, I could hold that watch in that place for 4 hours. And then I'd start it back up and say, look, only 3 minutes have passed. This magnetic field will literally stop the like you said, will mess with the instrumentals.
Flight recorder.
And the flight recorder. And, you know, when this guy goes into the supposed vortex, that could be powerful enough to literally stop this flight recorder in its spot. Because they talk about, you know, the compass goes haywire, all the instrumentals go haywire, and everything like that.
It actually does. I've seen it firsthand. It makes your me and my grandpa took a boat from Florida into the kind of close to that area, and it does screw. It starts messing with your compass a little bit because of magnetic flux. But like I was saying, that's a fulcrum point or a high point where the Earth releases its gravitational pulls, so it would do that. And it would mess with your brain, too. It would make you see shit.
Well, you
magnetic
know,
fields do.
That's one thing, but take this in consideration, too. Like I said earlier, everyone has their own, puts out their own magnetic field. And I know not for a fact, but I know there's suspicion that I've seen weapons that can do this. There are magnetic weapons out there that can
disrupt the certain nervous system.
It doesn't knock you unconscious. It just, you just stop.
Disoriented.
You know, you're just paralyzed.
Yeah, the government
paralyzes your nervous system.
It was against Well, yeah, it was against the Geneva or whatever the hell that act is. I know what you're talking about.
They're not supposed to have that kind of weapon. They're also not supposed to have weather weapons.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the government has this weapon. I was actually just watching a documentary called When UFOs Attack. And the government actually has people hired, high-paying people, scientists, and theorists and stuff like that, that actually have a full battle plan laid out. I'm talking, they actually played war games about this in the event that we make alien contact and they are not friendly. And multiple officials, government officials, have come out and said, we will not tell you how we're going to do this, because of the fact that the government has a lot of shit that we're not going to make public. We have weapons that we are not going to make public. Just think about that. What sort of, I mean, think we've already got, there are 22,000 nuclear warheads in the world. That's just nuclear capabilities alone. And those have been declassified since World War II and everything. Think about the possibilities that the government has classified. The things they've already declassified, like the railgun, that's one of the most destructive, that is the most destructive weapon on the planet as of right now. But to think that they have something even more powerful classified.
Let me put it this way. I'm pretty sure that we got some stuff that quite literally, if they were to land it off, it could literally rip the planet apart.
Well, just the nuclear warheads alone. If every nuclear warhead was set off and blown up on Earth, it would blow the world up twice.
Well, I'm worried about the antimatter that we're storing. That we were able to get our fucking hands on. That's what I'm worried about.
There's so many weapons. There's so many kinds of different weapons out there that are most of them are probably in military hands. There's probably some in private hands. But let me put it this way: Reagan had to have been thinking about something when he put Project Star Wars up. Okay.
Well, what up?
Project Star Wars. All those satellites.
Oh, yeah, that's been supposedly was taken back down, but it hasn't been.
That could literally point you and shoot you 30 miles into your house.
Well, yeah, they're all around the world, and they actually take the sun, the radiation from the sun, and direct to any point in origin. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I don't know if they use directly from the sun, but I know that from what I've heard, The lasers on satellites up there that could shoot you 30 miles underground.
Well, what about that movie? What was the movie I just saw? Where they dropped radium rods from orbit and it was just as destructive as a nuke?
Yeah, you're talking about
It's just a big ass rod of steel. They drop it from orbit. They drop it from orbit, and it literally is just as destructive as a missile, but it doesn't leave radiation. It's a big ass rod of cobalt or something like that.
Oh, uranium.
No. Uranium's nuclear. This shit is not nuclear whatsoever. It does not leave a trace of shit. It is just a giant piece of metal that they drop from orbit, and when it hits, it causes such a destructive wave because it goes so deep into the ground. I saw it on some movie. It was a sci-fi-ish movie, but it would work. It would so work.
Well, like I said, that's like anything. Anything you're going to drop from orbit, the speed that it's going to obtain from coming through the Earth's atmosphere, if it doesn't melt it, which is why we have asteroids. When we go through the asteroid area, we have these beautiful asteroid showers. You know, these beautiful.
But if you're below that orbit point, that shit doesn't matter. It gets right through there, no problem.
Well, see, that's just it. All those pieces of asteroids burning up, they're so small, and so they're not very dense, so they just burn up before they ever
hit. Sorry about that.
You know, they burn
sorry
up and
about that.
That's what makes it that beautiful line, man.
Wrong.
You know, this whole thing has got me, you know, with the whole weapons and stuff like that. You know, you gotta wonder, what the fuck are they making these weapons for?
So people like us can get on the show and talk about it.
Because there's some weirdo in the government that says, what? They have bigger penises? Bomb them! You know? I mean,
I believe it has to do with Project Rainbow.
Through my Freedom of Speech Act, I'm going to come out and say, well, Obama is trying to destroy the fabrics of this country and remove us as a superpower and actually try to build up a world economy. You know, so why would they be building weapons that make us better than every other country if Obama's trying to destroy us?
I don't know. Why did they decommission NASA?
I'm not going to get started on politics.
These are a whole damn bunch of different shows. hell yeah.
I got a lot of things
I can say about politics, especially about Mr.
Hussein Obama.
That's what we're famous for, Rob, is we start talking about one thing, and 10 minutes later we're on, you know, we could be talking about Jell-O pudding, and 3 minutes later we're talking about grade apes or something like that.
Okay,
well, you've heard of Project Rainbow, right?
No.
Okay, well, or the holographic portal. I guess an intense burst of infrared light at laser, created into a laser, dense laser form, pointed at any origin in the universe, we can look at it in live time through like a portal. But we can't walk through the portal. But we can look anywhere at any time. And supposedly the government has done this, and they've seen things they don't like. So that could be the possibility why they're building all these weapons. They know it's coming.
Mm.
And that's another show in itself. But
yeah. Well, Stephen Hawking, you know, one of the greatest minds, says that, you know, when we get contact from other worlds, they're not going to be friendly. You know, and to put the whole alien abduction theory to rest, you know, it's widely known that the government is in contact with extraterrestrials. There are books about people actually being shown by the president, nonfiction books, people being shown by the president these extraterrestrials that are actually working in conjunction with the government, the large governments of the world. And if we have extraterrestrials working with us, and let's say a craft comes down and abducts somebody and takes them up into their ship and takes them away, abduction. That's an act of war right there. Because think about it. Anytime a soldier is captured by another government or by a militia or something like that, that's an act of war. And what do? We go to war to get them back, or we make negotiations to get them back. So if they're capturing
military asset, maybe, but if they're just capturing a citizen, then that's not an act of war. That's kidnapping.
Yeah.
We from the U.S. all the time, but we ain't going to war with Mexico.
Oh. Yeah, but...
Funny
but,
guy.
We're...
I mean, come on. First off,
but...
Hold on. Let's just take this into consideration. I'm not saying the aliens are out there or the aliens ain't there, because I personally think that there's something out there. I think last time I was on the show, I believe, I pointed out the fact that the Nazis during World War II said that they were working with extraterrestrials in order to create the weapons that they created.
Yeah. Any species
that had evolved far enough to bend space and time or travel through space at a rate to get from our planet to their planet is bound to be aggressive, okay? Because that means that they're at the top of the food chain on their planet, just as currently we're supposedly at the top of the food chain on our planet, and we have the technology to go from here to the moon, so we're not exactly...
I don't know, dude. We eat our own faces all the time.
We're not the most peaceful species on the planet. So any species that could evolve that far, or not evolve, but progress that far, is bound to be aggressive.
Oh, most definitely. If anybody listens to this show and you wanna play into that religious hype bullshit that we are the, in this vast universe, we are the only intelligent life forms in the entire universe, you know, you might as well just do the buckshot treatment, you know, because and I say that with strong prejudice, because there is no way in hell that there is not other life out in the universe. It is mathematically impossible that we are the only life out there in the universe.
Well, technically, it's mathematically impossible that we're here, and that pretty much bitch slaps atheism, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's...
So I have a belief that something created everything. I'm not sure if it's God or if it was just some, if it's just some dude's dream, but there's too much scientific proof with wavelengths and everything that says that there's something holding everything together.
Well, of course, yes, there is higher beings than us, and if you want to call that God, then call that God. I call it other life forms that have probably been around for a lot longer than we have, because think about it, in the short time that we have been on Earth, we have already destroyed 50% of we have destroyed so much of Earth. We have sped up a natural process by millions of years. You know, like we're on the brink of another ice age, and what is that to? Mainly is the discovery and mass usage of fossil fuels.
Talking about global warming crap.
Well,
I don't believe in that global warming crap, man. I'm sorry, I got to disagree with you there.
Well, global warming is a natural is just the Earth recycling itself. It happens all the time. It's just at what rate it happens. So, wow, we really got off track. So the Bermuda Triangle.
Anyway, I don't want you got to remember too that the Bermuda Triangle is one of those spots that is supposedly, you know, it was one of the possible spots where Atlantis was.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole thing about ships being taken down, you know, ships being devoured in minutes. You know, that happens all over the world, but that's not made into these crazy hypes like it is inside the Bermuda Triangle. They used to think that rogue waves were a thing of myth. Then they find out, oh, well, they're extremely rare. Now they're finding out that they happen a lot more often than what we realize, these giant rogue waves. And that'll swallow a huge ship. in a matter of minutes. You know, that'll just take it right down. And the Bermuda Triangle, it's a dangerous place because of the natural occurrences that are happening within it. And to say that it's fourth dimensional, that it's aliens, that it's this, that, magical, you know, I just say get that out of your fucking head, because there is nothing magical about the Bermuda Triangle.
Well, I imagine
magic.
How people think, you know. You got to remember too, the hype. The Bermuda Triangle has been hyped up, and it's like you said, you know, not as many ships may not have disappeared in the triangle, but it's the ones that have, and the stories that come out of there. That's what gives it all the hype.
Oh yeah, we just had a whole show about that, Bob, a couple of weeks ago, about the Holocaust and how stories have hyped that up worse than it actually was.
Fish.
But once I get through this book, I'm going to have a lot better understanding, and it's probably going to make me an even bigger skeptic than I already am. But it's a book by Matthew Hudson. It's called The Seven Laws of Magical Thinking. And what this book is about is how irrational beliefs kind of keep the fabric of human beings together, how it keeps us, you know, happy, sane, and gives us a purpose so people aren't just killing themselves like sheep. And, you know, the whole Bermuda Triangle, this Bermuda Triangle thing, along with, you know, all these other things, you know, like magic and some of it, like mythological creatures and stuff like that, and these myths and stuff, that all plays into this magical thinking. It keeps this world exciting. Alongside of death, destruction, and chaos, this magical thinking is what keeps humans going. And I believe the Bermuda Triangle is nothing more than irrational magical thinking.
That's an interesting take on it. I personally believe it's a magnetic anomaly. There's several magnetic anomalies throughout all over the planet. It's just one of those areas that's had a magnetic anomaly, and they're just so powerful that they can instruments and mess with people's heads, and that's pretty much what it comes out to.
Most definitely. Well,
you say powerful.
What do you think, Bob? Do you think that kind of wraps up this show?
Yeah. Well, but I'd like to talk about the Rainbow Project next time. I'll get more information about it for those people listening. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about how it's possible and how it's not possible, and how people have believed that the doctor was killed off because of his knowledge, which actually the doctor is still alive. He's living perfectly fine. He just no longer has a job with the government, but we'll talk a little bit about that later on a later show.
Well, we got so much to, man, we got so many different topics. Like, this is, fun, yeah.
What's that, Bob?
Huh?
What are we at on time?
What do you say?
Are we over time?
I don't know, that's Bigfoot.
Hello? Yeah, this is Bigfoot. I just have one question. Why can't you all just leave me alone for my bar mitzvah?
That went over
Robert,
great with
Robert,
the Holocaust.
Robert,
bit.
You really... Yeah. I'm excited to finish this book that I'm reading. And I honestly would recommend it. It'll piss you off if you're really religious and everything. And my girlfriend has kind of called me out. She goes, "You're just an atheist," you know. And I said, "No, I'm not an atheist. I'm just a skeptic." And And, you know, this book really goes into, I mean, this guy literally in the first chapter goes, religion and the belief in God is bullshit. And I'm like, wow, this guy is really, you know, he's taking a strong view on this whole thing. But it's really a good book, and it really makes you question what you actually believe. So I would recommend The Seven Laws of Magical Thinking by Matthew Hutchison. Great book.
Yeah.
Matthew Hutchison. Dave, you were asking how much time we have left. Usually we do a two-hour show, but I'm really, you know, stuck watching the Supernatural marathon. So, hey,
really?
You know, being
that's
fucking
funny,
lame.
I've been watching it on Netflix.
Yeah.
Me too.
Well,
I heard it from season one.
I'm on.
Well, thank you to our wonderful sponsor who's helping us. Robert, you have ADHD. You seriously have attention deficit squirrel. You just love pushing buttons, don't you?
No.
Could you, like, shut up and give us some money?
Well, we want to thank our awesome sponsor who is helping pay the network.
Hello?
Yeah, we already played that at the beginning of this show, dude.
Please.
Yeah, but I think we should play it one more time. What do you?
Yeah, we can.
Please.
Gonna go ahead and play. Well, here's our sponsor.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
What were you playing?
Well, I was playing. I'm trying to play our sponsor.
Going to New Orleans for the weekend? For vacation? Are you wanting to take a ghost hunting tour but tired of the same old walking tours where you don't even get to go into the location? And you're not even sure if the history is accurate? Well, call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. This team of guys are going to take you into a real haunted location where you're going to get to use the state-of-the-art equipment that ghost hunters use. Be the paranormal investigator. You get to work with an experienced, competent team of investigators and have the real, true paranormal experience. Experience the dark side of New Orleans. Call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. They have tours Friday through Monday. Tours start at 7 and at 10 p.m. For more information, call 504-708-3567.
You know, I gotta wonder about these ghost tour places. You know, I'm not dissing them because I've been on one. I actually created a promo video for a business that does ghost tours, and it was a lot of fun, and it's really cool. But they say you know, have a real paranormal experience. I'm wondering if they guarantee it, and if you don't have one, if you get your money back.
Well, if
you
don't have one, they take you down to the hoodoo shaman, and they get you possessed. So yeah, there's paranormal for you. They paranormal stuff.
We want to thank everyone who's listening in and who stuck through our craziness. I swear to God, we cannot stay on topic to save our life, and that goes in every area of my life. Thank you all for listening. Thanks again, David, for helping us out. Oh yeah, man. Well, y'all have a wonderful night. Take it easy, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace out, people.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
Here we go now. Okay, well, I'm going to play God rap later, people.
I was going to go easy on you, not to hurt your feelings, but
I'm only going to get this one chance. Something's wrong, I can feel it.
It's just a feeling I've got, like something's about to happen, but I don't know what. If that means what I think it means, we're in trouble. Big trouble. And if he is bananas, as you say, I'm not taking any chances.
You are just one of the
I'm beginning to feel like a rap god, rap god. All my people from the front to the back, nod, back, nod. Now who thinks their arms are long enough to slap, box, slap, box? They said I rap like a robot, so call me rap. But for me to rap like a computer must be in my jeans. I got a laptop in my back pocket, my pinnacle walk when I hat cock it. Got a fat knock from that rat profit, made a living in a killing office. Ever since Bill Clinton was still in office, with Monica Lewinsky filling on his nutsack, I'm an MC still as honest, but as rude and as indecent as all hell. Syllables, killaholic,
kill them all.
This flippity-gibbity-hibbity hip-hop, you don't really wanna get into it, pissing mad with this rappity-rat pack and the Mac in the back of the yak, pack, pack, rap, rap, yap, 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 kitty yak, nap. The exact same time I attempt these lyrical acrobat stunts while I'm practicing that, I'll still be able to break a motherfucking table over the back of a couple of faggots and crack it in half. Only realized it was ironic, I was under aftermath after the fact. How could I not blow? All I do is drop F-bombs. I'm a wrath of attack, rappers are having a rough time period. Here's a maxi pad, it's actually disastrously bad. For the whack while the masterfully constructing this masterpiece.
I'm beginning to feel like a rap god, rap god. All my people from the front to the back, nod, back, nod. Now who thinks their arms are long enough to slap, box, slap, box? Let me show you maintaining this shit ain't that fun, that fun.
Everybody wants a key and a secret to rap immortality like I have got. Will there be truth for the blueprints? To be raising youth for exuberance. Everybody loves to root for a nuisance. Hit the earth like an asteroid, need nothing but shoot for the moon since. MCs get taken to school with this music, cause I use it as a vehicle to bust the rhyme. Yeah, I lead a new school full of students.
They all be hating, trying to bring me down, but they can't stop us.
Nope.
Our heads are up in the clouds, they all were haters.
True.
Now they're playing it out, so all can hear it.
Woo.
They're all maniacs now.
God given, so like it, don't listen. Heartfelt defines every line has been written on JC. Got the game unlocked, now gotta stop, already know that I'm the cream of the crop. Don't talk much, let my music talk for me. Don't cuss up, don't swear to me, it's all boring. Don't be the same as the rest of this game. Gonna be crazy and strange and have my own name. If you're not with me, you're not in the movement. If you're not in the movement, then you're already losing. I get the party popping, get people clapping, people just watching, wondering what happened. And there's people in between who buy the CDs. Those ones have to be the best ones to me. It started with a joke and continued with the passion, continuous desire to make this music happen. I write what you like, write what you feel. Don't write the hype, no, I write what's real. Tell you how I'm feeling, it must just get to you.
Yeah! It's PJ North. And you have been listening to Always Looking Up. I appreciate the support. We got one more for y'all. Let's do it. Let's get back to making history. Keep blaring my music till these people start listening. They ain't really missing me. Always stay dissing me and I don't give a shit. I guess that's just a piss of me. I'm looking in the mirror. Like they said, Drake said, shout out to moving out my mama's basement. I'm screaming we made it from drinking natty lights to go bottles of space shit. No rest, we know no replacements. All we know is greatness. Who is this? It's PJ North and I scream that till I'm on top and I mean that. I'm bringing me back. Hear my whole squad doing cliche rap shit is so faux pas. I wreck record but sell platinum albums. Y'all know what it's like with me. Try imagine it without them. I'm a prophecy, you'll see. I suggest you don't doubt them. I told you we could have it all. Now look at we own. I told you that we wouldn't fall. Now we're making history. I told you we could make it out. Now look at we own. I told you they would sing this loud. Now we're making history. I tried testing my will and my wherewithal. Ask me if I do, truth is I don't care at all. You're killing these beats. It's not there at all. I don't mind showing my ass out. I'll bear it all. I'm hard to beat here, like a homestand. I'm even harder to impress, like my old man. I'm even a little country, like a soul can. I'm even a little romantic when she wanna hold hands. I take the game in these cold hands. Can I throw it out? Who wanna throw down? I'm yelling one pimp up and hose down. Yeah, I say you get it. I'm not another pop act. I'm known to write a mean lyric. Vicious in spirit, mind, body, and soul. I'm a gift to the booth. I obliterate those stepping in the way of my move. I mean, honestly, haters, tell me what else do I gotta do?
thank you for joining us on the Debunker Boys. I'm going to play an artist that is called Deadbeat. Really good music, great stuff. And then we'll, after that, I'll intro in and we'll discuss just about anything we discuss on the Debunker Boys. Thanks for listening in.